Here we are. It's another wonderful day. It is April 22nd, 2023. It's 1737 hours. And I'm Ward Green. This is, well, yesterday we had Dan Fogelberg, leader of the band. That was from 1981. Today we have Neil Sedaka from 1975, a remake of his earlier song, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
Tell me that you're leaving. I can't believe it's true. Girl, there's just no living without you. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. 'Cause if you go, then I'll be blue. Breaking up is hard to do. Remember when you held me tight and you kissed me all through the night. Think of all that breaking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up again. I beg of you, don't say goodbye. Can't we give our love just one more try? Come on, baby, let's start. It's hard to do. Breaking up is oh so hard to do.
Now, little children, from our article, Wild Road, I almost forgot the name of it there, Wild Road Ahead to History. Don't worry, I did prepare this. It's a little bright here. Now it's a little dark. We're in part one, chapter 7, paragraph 6. We're talking about Mr. Charles Forster and an unnamed Mr. So-and-so. Now, Mr. Forster allows, if our translations sometimes differ, it will be held in mind, he says, Mr. Forster says, that so do the text and the marginal readings of the English Bible. In contrast, Mr. So-and-so produces no translations at all. Mr. Forster, an authority on ancient Arabic and Hebrew alphabets, in quotes, the oldest alphabets of the world, end quote, offers a prefixed harmony of the alphabets. that translates the letters of the Sinaitic inscriptions from a very ancient Arabic into their more modern Hebrew. This is the table here, which is showing the comparison. It's from his book. Mr. Forster provided with this tabulated comparison of the different alphabets. And of course we see that in the Sinaitic inscriptions each letter has many variations, whereas in English or Hebrew or even modern Arabic there are comparatively many fewer variations for those same letters. And so from a very ancient Arabic into their more modern Hebrew, the modern Arabic, and also Roman or modern English signs. English is written in the same alphabet as the Roman Latin language was. This expert's method was empirical. Speaking about Mr. Forster, and employed a very convincing number of the Sinaitic inscriptions. Forster includes any direct correlations to the Bible, while politely refraining from compelling any beliefs. His thorough treatment of Mr. So-and-so's comments gives an overly generous exposure to the opposing side. But Mr. G.F. Gray is rightly named as providing in 1830 177, quote, fairly copied, end quote, Sinaitic inscriptions of worth. On the reality of these inscriptions is what we touch. This is the annal of their globally published notices. So we have more to say about these remarkable Sinaitic inscriptions found in the Sinai Desert or wilderness, which was the very place where Israel sojourned as they were exiting Egypt during the Exodus, on the earlier part of their journey, of course, as they departed Egypt, with Sinai being directly north of Egypt. So that's today's study in Wild Road. In the Proverbs, we have a scripture for today from Proverbs 24 and 7. For a foolish one, true wisdom is too high. In the gate, he will not open his mouth. Our reading for today, from the book of Exodus chapter 4. However, Moses is speaking to Jehovah God. In answering, he says, but suppose they do not believe me and do not listen to my voice, because they are going to say Jehovah did not appear to you. Then Jehovah said to him, what is that in your hand? To which he said, a rod. Next he said, throw it on the earth. So he threw it on the earth, and it became a serpent. And Moses began to flee from it. Jehovah now said to Moses, thrust your hand out and grab hold of it by the tail. So he thrust his hand out and grabbed hold of it, and it became a rod in his palm. In order that, to quote him, they may believe that Jehovah, the God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then Jehovah said to him once more, stick your hand, please, into the upper fold of your garment. So he stuck his hand into the upper fold of his garment. When he drew it out, why, here his hand was stricken with leprosy like snow. After that, he said, return your hand into the upper fold of your garment. So he returned his hand into the upper fold of his garment. When he drew it out of the upper fold of his garment, why, here it was restored like the rest of his flesh. And it must occur that, to quote him, if they will not believe you and will not listen to the voice of the first sign, then they will certainly believe the voice of the later sign. Still, it must occur that if they will not believe even these two signs and will not listen to your voice, then you will have to take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry land. And the water that you will take from the Nile River will certainly become, yes, it will indeed become blood on the dry land. Moses now said to Jehovah, excuse me, Jehovah, but I am not a fluent speaker. Neither since yesterday, nor since before that, nor since you're speaking to your servant, for I am slow of mouth and slow of tongue. At that Jehovah said to him, who appointed a mouth for man, or who appoints the speechless or the deaf, or the clear-sighted or the blind? Is it not I, Jehovah? So now go, and I myself shall prove to be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you ought to say. But he said, excuse me, Jehovah, but send, please, by the hand of the one whom you are going to send. Then Jehovah's anger grew hot against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I do know that he can really speak. And besides, here he is on his way out to meet you. When he does see you, he will certainly rejoice in his heart. And you must speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I myself shall prove to be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you men what you are to do. And he must speak for you to the people, and it must occur that he will serve as a mouth to you, and you will serve as God to him. And this rod you will take in your hand, that you may perform the signs with it. Accordingly, Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, I want to go, please, and return to my brothers who are in Egypt, that I may see whether they are still alive. So Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. After that, Jehovah said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, because all the men who were hunting for your soul are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons. Now before we, I want to say, Amos was the ruler when Moses fled Egypt, according to the genealogy or the chronology of the genealogy. It was Amos the first who was the Pharaoh. After Moses left, the reign of Amos ended in 1525 BCE in the genealogy, or 1526 BCE, sometime in that vicinity of time. And the king became the son of Amos, what was the Pharaoh. So it could be that Amos and his son were both pursuing to find Moses to punish him for the crime that he committed in killing a man. But when the son of Amos, Amenhotep I, when he died, that was in about 1520. First of all, Amos stopped, his reign ended in 1526 or 1525. I may have said 14 instead of 15. 1526 or 1525, and then Amenhotep I died in about 1506 or 1504 or sometime in that range. And then Thutmose I became ruler, and he was not the son of Amenhotep I. We don't know who his father was. So when he became king of Egypt, it's possible that that was the time spoken of here, when Moses was not in any danger any longer, because the king, the pharaoh, Thutmose I, did not know about anything that was going on with the lawsuit or the attempt to chase Moses and just capture him to punish him. So then Moses took his wife and his sons and made them ride on an ass, and he proceeded to return to the land of Egypt. Moreover, Moses took the rod of the true God in his hand. And Jehovah went on to say to Moses, after you have gone and returned to Egypt, see that you men actually perform all the miracles that I have put in your hand before Pharaoh. As for me, I shall let his heart become obstinate, and he will not send the people away. And you must say to Pharaoh, this is what Jehovah has said. Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say to you, send my son away, that he may serve me. But should you refuse to send him away, here I am killing your son, your firstborn. Now, it came about on the road at the lodging place that Jehovah got to meet him and kept looking for a way to put him to death. Finally, Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and caused it to touch his feet and said, it is because you are a bridegroom of blood to me. Consequently, he let go of him. At that time, she said, a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Then Jehovah said to Aaron, go to meet Moses into the wilderness. With that he went and met him in the mountain of the true God and kissed him. And Moses proceeded to tell Aaron all the words of Jehovah who had sent him and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. After that, Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the older men of the sons of Israel. Then Aaron spoke all the words that Jehovah had spoken to Moses, and he performed the signs under the eyes of the people. At this, the people believed. When they heard that Jehovah had turned his attention to the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed down and prostrated themselves. That's the end of Exodus chapter 4. And it's the end of our study for today, little children. We have a new member of our family here. This is Gully from the original version of this. The movement is named the Seagull. I believe the Seagull Company, or the name of the watch was the Seagull, but it's from China. And this is the ST-1902 movement in this watch. It's a chronograph movement, so it has a stopwatch function. Now, one thing about this watch, it was not told to me. It was misleadingly advertised, I believe, that this bottom dial was a 12-hour dial. It is a 12-hour dial, and it is meant to be for the chronograph, but it doesn't function with the chronograph. It functions along with the hour hand. So wherever your hour hand, the main hour hand of the watch, wherever that is, that bottom dial is also in the same place on the 12-hour dial that's down on the small circle, that small dial. That means it's not a chronograph function, but it says chronograph right above it, too. It's got this, the word chronograph written in small print directly on the top, around the perimeter at the top. And that is misleading because it's not specifically connected to the 30-minute chronograph is all it is. And the 12 hours, if you want to keep track of how many hours, you have to make a note of what hour the dial says at the time you start the 30-minute chronograph, and then you can use that 12-hour dial, but you could use your main hour hand to do the same thing also. So it's not really anything more than a 30-minute chronograph. And the way they advertised it was they showed the chronograph running, and they had the lower dial of the 12-hour dial, which is also synchronized with the hour hand, they showed that dial not at 12 o'clock. So it made you think that the chronograph was running and that's why that hand was not at 12 o'clock. Because you wouldn't realize that the reason why it was aligned, you wouldn't necessarily make the connection that it was in the same position as the main hour hand. So it was a very deceptive advertising. It's still a fine watch. It's still a fine watch, but it would have cost the same no matter how they advertise it. I believe it's priced according to the value of it, but it's unfortunate. That's one thing. It's not an automatic watch. This is the first watch. This is my first watch that I bought recently of my recent purchases. That's not automatic. It needs to be wound, so I have to wind it, but I wind all my watches every day anyway, but have to wind this one. It doesn't have any automatic winding. And it's today 10 seconds behind. It started out 13 seconds, which means it's about gaining about, probably by now it's gained another second, I would think. Let me see. 5, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it's gained, it's about, oh my, it's only about, really? It's gained a lot more. 9, 19, 20. It's only 5 seconds behind right now. I believe it was 13 seconds behind yesterday, so it's gaining. It's good that it's gaining, but it doesn't have, it's not hacking, so I can't stop the second hand, so I can't really synchronize. I believe it's just, that means the second hand runs all the time. So I can only set it to the nearest minute anyway, so it doesn't matter if it's fast or slow. Really doesn't matter. What does matter is if it's not fast by very much, or, you know, if it's very close to being perfect, then I won't have to set it as often. But looks like it's quite a bit fast. 5 seconds. Let me check my notes to find out what... This is called... I'm calling this watch Gully. So we've got one thing to check here. Gully was, yeah, minus 13. Now is only minus 5. So it gained 8 seconds today. Or she has, or he has. Gully has gained about 8 seconds in one day, which is reasonable. It's very reasonable, actually. Very good. And this is, let me check. Just for comparison. Well, I don't think I synchronized. Wow, this watch is 7, 8, 9. Now, about currently 18 seconds fast, but I don't think I synchronized this watch yesterday. I don't have watches that are gaining. Currently, I don't have anything gaining that much in one day. That's Moppy. I may not be doing this every day, but it was 6 seconds fast. Yes, 6 seconds fast yesterday. So gaining about 12 seconds per day, roughly, say. Depends, too, how it's oriented, but on my wrist since yesterday, it gained about 12 seconds. Moppy did. She did. He did. I don't know which ones are male and which are female, or whether I should give them genders, but... For Ward, this is Gully and Moppy. Right. Wait a minute. It's Saturday. It's April 22nd, 2023. It's 1800 hours precisely right now by the computer, which is atomic time. We have the fact that I love you very much. We have the blessings of Jehovah. May he bless you. And we have our faith in Jesus and Jesus' faithful preaching to us, his faith in us, even more important. So, for Gully and for Ward Green, it's Gully and Moppy saying bye for now.